This is a throwdown, a showdown. Hell no, Rob Fay Nation can't slow down. It's gonna go.
Carter on a break. He scores!
Boom! Look at, he's out cold.
The greatest pound for pound fighter.
The cream of the crop.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Rob Fay. Welcome to your Tuesday edition of Sports Bar Radio. Today's show is going to be significantly different structure-wise than what you're probably used to. You know, we usually do the lead, we do our VIP room, I tell you some of the bets that you should be placing, and so on and so forth. But today is kind of a unique day for me. I was introduced as the newest play-by-play voice for the Fraser Valley Bandits. Now, this is a team within the Canadian Elite Basketball League. I know it's not a household name or a household league by any stretch of the imagination, but there was something that I just wanted to take on when it came to the Fraser Valley Bandits. I love basketball. I see what they're doing out of the Valley, and I understand right now that it's a league that's kind of in its infancy, but I think they're doing things right. I think they've got the right people in the right positions, and it's kind of like buying stock early. You just want to be associated with it, and you know that it is going to get better. So today, what I wanted to do is get into the whole premise of chasing your dreams, going after things, seeing signs, and maybe this isn't a show for you. Maybe you're looking for sports updates and hot takes and all that kind of stuff, but the reality is that I think every once in a while, it's cool to pick the brain of somebody that has walked the walk, and if you're inspired to do something, or maybe you've been putting it off or procrastinating, this is the show for you. So, without getting into too much preachy, you know what I mean? Where I'm just yelling at you and telling you that you got to go raise a mountain above your head by tomorrow morning. I would rather just do it like this. How I got involved in basketball was a really unique story. Back in 1995, I had moved here to Vancouver from Toronto in 1994, and one of the first things that I did was enroll at Capilano College. This is before it became Capilano University. Being around the campus, just kind of getting my feet wet, I was kind of the new kid on the block. One of the things that came across the desk of the class that I was in, which was Human Kinetics, was that there was a local school, a middle school, that was looking for a basketball coach, a volunteer coach at that, and, you know, a couple of people put their hands up, and I don't know what it was, but I was just like, yeah, I'll put my hand in. Sure enough, I ended up talking with a couple of people, and I got to do Balmoral Middle School's girls basketball team, a grade 10 team, that ended up teaching me a lot of things. I wasn't good at basketball. To be honest with you, I didn't know anything about basketball. But I knew that I had to show up, make sure that the gym was open at 7:30 or 7:45 in the morning, and make sure that I was there to basically put a lineup card together and make sure that everybody had their opportunity to play. That was a really unique experience for me because, again, a sport that I had no understanding about was, it was really engaging. I love the competitive nature, the 5-on-5, the chess match that goes back and forth between teams as a certain player gets into foul trouble or a certain player's got the hot hand. That, to me, really inspired a drive in me that I think I was starting to lose as my baseball career, my very humble and modest baseball career, was coming to an end. So it filled the void that I needed. I ended up coaching basketball for 6 years. 1 year at Balmoral, 5 more at Carson Graham over in North Vancouver, and loved every second of it. I did junior girls basketball, senior girls basketball, never the best coach. If anything, I was in over my head, but I still knew that if I turned on the lights, make sure that the basketballs are there, make sure that the uniforms are ordered on time, and just let the girls know that they were on an equal playing foot as the guys' teams, then that was all I really needed to do. And that was something that inspired me as well. You know, the guys' teams always seem to get the better warm-up gear, and they always seem to get the better court times. And I was really hell-bent on making sure that we got t-shirts and we got bags. And, you know, I don't think that translated into wins or anything, but it's the old adage, look good, play good, who knows? So anyways, over those 6 years, I really fell in love with the game of basketball. Eventually, I had to go and get a job and get into this industry, which is broadcasting, and never really had a chance to circle back other than covering UBC basketball and SFU basketball, which is what the next chapter of my journey was, which was going up to SFU, being their public address announcer for both the men's and the women's basketball teams. I mean, it was awesome. Scott Clark's men's program was pretty good, but Allison and Mike McNeil's women's program was second to none. They would just roll through the NAIA competition, and even when they finally switched over to the CIS competition, it was still a powerhouse before they gave way to Bruce Langford, who did his thing. But just watching Karen Edgel and Teresa Kleindienst and Danny Langford and just all of these amazing basketball players come through Simon Fraser University was inspiring. And then when I went to UBC, got to see Kevin Hansen and everything that he was doing with the men's program and how he brought on Jamie Wees as assistant coach. And then you'd see what Deb Huban was doing on the ladies' side with Kerry Watson and so many inspiring players all around me that I really had the chance to just immerse myself in that basketball community, and something that I still have always carried in my back pocket. So fast forward through 14 years of minor league baseball, and finally when I decided that I was going to part ways with the Vancouver Canadiens, and a very hard decision to do at that, I took a couple of months, stepped back, and realized that Fraser Valley maybe had an opportunity. So I reached out casually, and one conversation turned into two, which turned into three. Next thing you know, I'm talking to guys back in Ontario, and then the position became mine. Why I think this position works for me at this time, as opposed to maybe what it could have been earlier on in my career, is I think I'm ready for it now. I don't know if I would have been ready for the pace of basketball and all the little nuances that come with this game had I not walked that walk of going through UBC and SFU and Carson Graham and Balmoral and just taking on any opportunity that I could, doing PA for Capilano College and watching Carla King do big things. And it's just one of those things where it's a combination of experience. Finally, at 47 years of age, brings me back to the game, which was really the first game that I enjoyed when I moved to Vancouver from Toronto. So, am I ready for it? Yeah. Am I prepared for it? Yes. Am I nervous? Absolutely. The other thing that I will say is some people may say, well, Fraser Valley, like, Rob, you've already done the Vancouver Canadiens, you've done spring training for the Toronto Blue Jays. Are you ready to take the, quote, step back? And I immediately quash that by saying, listen, this is not a step back. If anything, it's an opportunity to grow a game that is long overdue to be grown once again here on the West Coast. I know what the Vancouver Grizzlies meant to this city. I know what it was like when they left and the sour taste that it left in a lot of basketball fans' mouths. But what they are doing in the Fraser Valley is really extraordinary. And it took me a little time to do some research and see what they're doing. Building a basketball academy, going out into the community, doing things right. And even this league, just 3 years, they're 3 years into what they're doing. And in the midst of it, COVID-19, they've been able to keep their head above water. They've had to revise their schedule a number of times. They've had to put in plans that they probably never thought they'd have to put in. And yet a league in its infancy is still pushing forward. That's the kind of tenacity and the commitment to the game that I wanted to be a part of. I saw what they were doing and it made a lot of sense to me. It kind of reminded me of when I first joined the Vancouver Canadiens back in 2007. 2007's Canadiens was a really interesting time because you had the old regime that had just sold off to Jake Kerr and Jeff Mooney, the new brass of the Vancouver Canadiens, which have gone on to do extraordinary things. I mean, working under those guys for 14 years was a crash course in excellence. You just couldn't not, if you were open to it, just sop up the experience and the knowledge and just leadership and all the things that came with working for those two gentlemen. It was really something to be seen. So anyways, in 2007, it was really bare bones. The old regime just had kind of let it wither away. And Jake Kerr, Jeff Mooney, self-admittedly, think they bit off more than they can chew. But they took their time to build it from the ground up. And one of the first things that they did was they came forward with honesty. Boy, were they honest. They admitted that they were in over their heads. They admitted that it was basically a restaurant attached to a baseball stadium. And they broke that thing down. And then they built it back up. So to be there with a front row seat to all of that, to roll up my sleeves and get hands dirty in that same situation, was really something that I think intrigued me about this opportunity. It's really almost the same thing. The only difference is instead of Nat Bailey Stadium, it's Abbotsford Center. And Abbotsford Center is going to very quickly become a real hub of activity because you've got the Canucks AHL affiliate coming in. You've got Fraser Valley. You've got concerts. This is going to be a pretty big hub of activity over the next couple of years. And in the Fraser Valley, where there's a lot of families that are looking for an opportunity to bring their kids and their parents and what have you out to the arena, that to me is right in my wheelhouse. I watched how you develop a brand right at my feet for more than a decade. So what does it mean to be the broadcaster? Trust me, I'm not working as hard as the guys that are there full time, but I understand the stories that need to be told, and I understand the trust that needs to be developed, and I understand that these games matter. One of the biggest mistakes or miscues that I had in my time with the Vancouver Canadiens was I didn't take all 1,000 games on air seriously. I wish that I did, but I didn't. There were certain days and you know, a foreign city like Salem, Oregon, or maybe I was in Boise, Idaho, and I just sit back and I'm like, man, it's hot, I'm tired, I got a lot of stuff on my plate to do, and I would kind of coast every once in a while, and I look back at that and I kind of wish that I didn't. But that's just, you know, you're by yourself, you're doing 76 games in 80 or 81 nights, and When I look back now, I probably shouldn't have, but I also understand where I was at in my life and the beast that that season was, and, you know, you take the good with the bad. But here, it's a completely different story, because every single game matters. Every single game counts. We only get to do a handful of games this year. Like, believe it or not, because of COVID and everything that's going on, the budgets and all that, we only do the home games. So when the Bandits are on the road, you get somebody else's broadcast. And I hope that eventually changes, because I do think you need consistency, whether you're home or away. And I think Fraser Valley and the rest of the Canadian Elite Basketball League will get there. But for now, totally understandable, based on budgets and constraints, that right now Fraser Valley is going to be the only place that myself, Ransford Brenpong, and Chantel Chand will call basketball games. Ah, yes, you're wondering, Chantel Chand, is it that Chantel Chand from TSN 1040? It is. So one of the coolest parts of this whole process was realizing that her name was in the conversation to be sideline reporter for our broadcast. And when it came time to vouch for her, I couldn't sing her praises enough. Ransford is a former Fraser Valley Bandit. He's a guy that's played with the Canadian national basketball team. I mean, no brainer. And even though he doesn't have a lot of basketball experience, that's on my job to extract that information and do it in a timely manner. So Ransford and I have already met. We've already done a couple of mock broadcasts, and we're going to be just fine. I'm not worried about that. But I think the star in all of this, the ace in the deck, is Chantel Chand, because let's be honest, you know what I think of her. She's on-air talent extraordinaire, and she's going to get an opportunity to do the sport that she loves the most. She's going to get a chance to do it on TV with CBC and CBC Gem. Most importantly, she's going to be able to do it in her community, something that I think she's really passionate about. So I'm not going to speak for her, but I do believe in this moment that this is going to be her coming out party if she hasn't had one already. So imagine this. That's the situation that I'm walking into, is having a familiar face, having a guy with an embarrassment of knowledge, walking into an organization that's doing things right, in a new sport, in a new element, with a new opportunity. It just seemed like the perfect fit. I know there's a lot of people out there that know me as the baseball guy. You can always know me as the baseball guy, but I'm also going to have basketball attached to that resume as well. And I'm also working on some wrestling stuff. Yeah, the WWE-style wrestling. I'll tell you about that one later. For now, I just wanted to sum this up by saying, listen, there are going to be opportunities that present themselves at different points in your life. There's going to be moments where you think it's going to happen and it doesn't, and then when you think it's not going to happen, it does. For example, a couple of months ago when they blew up TSN 1040, trust me, I was just a bit player at that station. I wasn't Sakaris or Price, I wasn't Donnie or the Moj, I wasn't the morning guys. I was just the guy that showed up periodically and did the evening show. That was a really valuable lesson for me in making sure that everything that you've done leads to something. I really believe that there are no off days in life. There might be an off day where you don't get the things that you want, but there are still work that you can put in. And even though TSN blew up, I went and I did the YouTube show, The Nation. That kept my name out there. That got some eyes on me. And it also gave me a chance to connect with Chris Perry from Equity Guru. Chris Perry from Equity Guru all of a sudden decided that he wanted to get involved, and we created Sports Bar Radio. So Sports Bar Radio and Nation were kind of the bridge to this. And will I still be doing Sports Bar Radio? Absolutely. Will I still be doing The Nation? That's on the list of things to do as well. But this opportunity is the culmination of keeping your name in the game, never giving up, always paddling and pushing forward, even if you don't know what direction you're going sometimes, and just continuing to persevere. I love, love, love the timing of this. I think this is an organization that's going to do big things. And I know the fact that it says Fraser Valley and not Vancouver, some people may lessen the brand, like, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to go all the way out to the Fraser Valley. Trust me, the stadium seats 7,500. It's pristine. If you've ever been out there for a concert or you've been out there for a game, you know what it is. Nice big scoreboard, great bucket seats, two-tiered stadium. It's got everything. It's got suites. It's got perfect lighting. It's got lots of parking. It's got great food. This is a venue that I'm really proud to set up shop with. So I hope you will join me, whether it's in person out at Abbotsford Center or if you're just going to tune into CBC Sports or CBC Gem. This is a new chapter in my broadcast career. I'm really, really proud to take this step forward, and I hope you'll take one with me. I'll take my break here. When I come back, we're going to switch gears. We will talk a little sports. I'm not just going to sit here and bore you with my LinkedIn profile for the whole show, but just wanted to make sure that you knew that we were always, always, always going to communicate together, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Busy day with basketball, but I wanted to make sure that I stopped by and pumped out another Sports Bar Radio, because you know what? That's the relationship. That's the friendship that you and I have. I just want to keep that going so that you always know No matter when you tune in, there's always a fresh show here for you. We'll be back with more sports chatter on the other side of the break. I'm Rob Fay, and this is Sports Bar Radio, your Tuesday edition, episode number 51. And it's brought to you like it has been since episode one by my good friends at Equity Guru.
You're listening to Sports Bar Radio with Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity Guru. Equity Guru, investment information for millennials and madmen.
This segment is brought to you by Diagnose. Diagnose is a Canadian biotech company that uses eye scans and artificial intelligence to detect a variety of medical conditions remotely without the need for a doctor's visit. They're currently operating in 16 countries with 131 screening sites and just announced a move into Europe. Their ticker symbol is ADK. For more information about Diagnose, visit www.equity.guru.
Welcome back to Sports Bar Radio with host Rob Fay, brought to you by Equity.guru.
Okay, welcome back to Sports Bar Radio, your Tuesday edition. I am your host, Rob Fay, and I appreciate you subscribing, liking, reviewing, you know, the usual stuff that I ask of you. And again, if you could share the word of what we are doing, that would also be very, very kind. All right, so Toronto Blue Jays have been playing their games in Dunedin, Florida, and now they've transferred to Buffalo, New York. But when you see the NHL getting the green light from the Canadian government to go and play teams across the border and have those teams come into Canada, I got to think that the Toronto Blue Jays now have a case to go to the government and say, listen, we need to get back to Toronto. We're dying on the vine here. We need that revenue. And even if we could just get to, oh, I don't know, 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 fans based on the 45,000 seat capacity of Rogers Center, I'm not sure how the Canadian government at this point says no to them. Realistically, we're getting close to those borders reopening. I don't know if it's going to happen before, oh, I don't know, the end of June, the end of September next year, but we're getting close to the point where the Canadian government is starting to be flexible, or at least in certain cases flexible. And I think the Toronto Blue Jays legitimately have a case here to try and make a push to get back into Toronto by Canada Day, July the 1st. It could be done. Now, the question is, what is the relationship like prior to that ask? Have the Toronto Blue Jays been pains in the asses to both the Ontario government and the federal government, or have they played nice in the sandbox? Because believe it or not, I do think that that has something to do with whether or not you're going to be able to get things done, or at least expedite the opportunity to get these games back in Toronto. They do have a decent setup in Buffalo. But there's no doubt that Rogers Communications wants to get butts in seats in Toronto, because then you get the parking, you get the F&B, you get all those secondary things, team store sales, all the things that help the bottom line, instead of all of a sudden looking out of Buffalo and saying, boy, we're going to try and at least keep the light flickering, even though we know we need to get them back into Toronto. What do you think? Hit me up on Twitter today at Rob Fay, R-O-B, F as in Frank, A-I. Do you think the Blue Jays, now that the NHL has opened up the door, do they have a legitimate opportunity to bring the Toronto Blue Jays home mid-season? Maybe it's the second half of the season after the All-Star break. I'm not sure exactly when you would target a date, but I do think the case can be made at this point that you could go ahead and bring Major League Baseball back to Canada, and eventually when the NBA season starts again in a couple of months' time, you could do the same with the Raptors, who spent the entire year down in Tampa. And now, speaking of teams north of the 49th, the Canadian Football League has a bunch of them, and right now the deadline is fast approaching as to what the Canadian Football League is going to do with their start date. I know they want to get this season started, I know they want to have games, and I know that there's a plan in place to do that, but do the Board of Governors vote on an August the 5th start date? Canadian Football League is eyeing a July 10th start date for training camps, and I'm not sure what the entire protocol looks like, but you've got these teams that desperately want to get back into their venues and start getting football games going as they try to generate some form of revenue post-pandemic. I think one of the challenges here is the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi. Randy has done a good job in certain facets of this organization, and he has struggled in other facets. I don't know if they could do it over again, if they would do much the same. Randy Ambrosi didn't really have a plan. You heard that leak out on several different occasions that a lot of what they were doing was just the same thing. It was just wrapped in different wrapping paper. And I think right now that if the CFL can finally get its footing and finally at least get back on the field, once that Board of Governors collects themselves and gets back together, Randy Ambrosi's leadership is going to come into question. Now, again, I'm not saying that he did a terrible job, but you could definitely tell the leagues that were ready, and you were definitely knowing the teams that weren't. And you were definitely looking at the organizations that weren't. The CFL wasn't ready for this. The CFL, watching the NHL get back on the ice, watching Major League Baseball, watching college football, watching pretty much everybody around them get back in the game, the CFL was so late to this party. There wasn't a contingency plan. There wasn't proper funding. They couldn't go to the government and get the money that they needed. So really, they were just withering, waiting for the opportunity where people could get vaccinated and they could get back on the field. I'm not saying a pandemic's going to happen again, so maybe Randy Ambrosi or insert commissioner's name here could have really made a difference, but I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned from what we have watched over the last 16 months with Randy Ambrosi at the helm of the Canadian Football League. That's before you get into the XFL talk. That's before you get into the discussion about expansion. That's before you get into all of the other X factors that right now are showing Randy Ambrosi as a really polarizing figure. Some guys love him. The old boys club, the old regime, likes Randy Ambrosi. But I think there is a younger faction of fans and even executives that are starting to say, listen, if we're going to be progressive, it can't just be selling our soul to the XFL. We have to do things up here. We have to understand that if this was ever to happen again in any way, shape, or form, that we've got a contingency plan, that we've got funding put aside, and so many things that this time around were exposed as not being in the cards. Couple of games for your viewing pleasure in the association tonight. Atlanta trying to build on their one game to none series lead on Philadelphia. That would be a surprise if Atlanta could somehow get past Joel Embiid in the 76ers. But right now, Atlanta is as hot as a pistol. They got past the Knicks. And Philadelphia isn't just battling the Hawks. They're battling their history. They just haven't been able to get over the hump. A couple of years ago, it was the Raptors. Milwaukee Bucks are still in the cards. Philadelphia, this has got to be the year. 49-23. They've done everything right. They've built this team into what should be a deep playoff run roster. And yet they are still toiling with the Atlanta Hawks. Atlanta has won four in a row dating back to their series with the Knicks, where they won that final three games of that series. 76ers just 2-2 in their past five games. Trae Young has been the story of the postseason for Atlanta, averaging more than 30 points a game. He's almost got 10 assists per game as well. Joel Embiid with 27 points for the 76ers. Ben Simmons with 9 off the glass. Well, the other game tonight has the Los Angeles Clippers finally wiping those beads of sweat off their forehead in that seven-game series against Dallas. Now out of the fire into the frying pan as they get ready to take on the Utah Jazz. Utah is essentially the best team record-wise in the association with a 52-20 mark. Game one tonight going at 7 o'clock. You can watch that game on Sportsnet 650. Denver and Phoenix is tomorrow. Brooklyn and Milwaukee, we don't get to see them again until Thursday. And if you thought the Floyd Mayweather-Logan Paul fight was one for the books, quote-unquote, how about this one? It's getting closer. Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley being called an interesting fight by ESPN's Max Kellerman. 24-year-old Jake Paul taking on the nearly 40-year-old Tyron Woodley, where many are saying that Tyron Woodley will get the best of Jake Paul. Woodley fought his way to the top of the UFC back in 2016 when he knocked out Robbie Lawler to win the belt at the welterweight division. Paul has knocked out two pro athletes, that is Nate Robinson and Ben Askren. And Dana White has finally chimed in on both Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul, saying that Floyd Mayweather should officially retire now. But as for Logan Paul fighting in the UFC, Dana did not come out and say no. He said, I don't know, man. I don't know. Here's the thing. Not to say that I haven't taken a guy that's been 0-0 into the UFC and done those types of fights before, but I don't know. But White did say that he respected Logan's work ethic and athletic ability, as well as his marketing power. Money, money, that always talks, and says there will always be a market for famous people to get into the ring. He brought up one thing that I thought was kind of funny, though. He said, imagine if Kim Kardashian wanted to fight Amanda Nunes. How big do you think that fight would be? What do you think Kim Kardashian would make if she fought Amanda Nunes? Probably more than anybody's ever made. Ever. Then he got into the very stacked card at UFC 263 that's coming up this weekend that includes the return of Nate Diaz, who's taking on Leon Edwards. White said that if Diaz can defeat the number 3 ranked welterweight, that he would be right back in the conversation for a title shot. All right, an abbreviated Sports Bar Radio today. It's been a very busy day. I am proud to announce once again, I am the new play-by-play voice for the Fraser Valley Bandits. It is an awesome opportunity to pick up a completely new sport. And now we get back to the business at hand. I'll be back on Wednesday. We'll get you updated in the entire world of sports. Maybe even a special guest. I'm trying to track down my old co-host, Chantel Chand, who eventually said we'll get together and do this show here. So we'll see if we can get that done in time for tomorrow's show. But between now and then, I am Rob Fay. Have yourself a fantastic afternoon. And thank you for always checking in on Sports Bar Radio. Presented to you, as always, by my good friends, my extraordinary producer, Jay Swing, my brother from another, Galen, Chris Perry, JP Chung, and the irreplaceable Priscilla Choi. Until we do this again tomorrow, I'm Rob Fay. Have yourself a great afternoon. Take care, everybody.
Sports Bar Radio was brought to you by Equity Guru, investment information for the new generation. Visit us at equity.guru and let's make some money together. Please note, any mention of companies on this podcast is part of a promotional campaign, and the information you hear should be a part of extensive due diligence. As well, always get advice from an accredited financial advisor before you make any investment decision. Protect yourself.